says proven that it did not take 999 persons to change the destiny of this country. It only took 9.
This is Ozarks at Large. That's a voice of one of the most famous Arkansans ever. To help us identify that voice is Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Welcome back, Randy Dixon. Who did we just hear?
Thank you, Kyle. That was Daisy Bates, the activist and publisher and journalist and lecturer from Arkansas, who, of course, is best known for leading the Little Rock Nine through the Central High crisis.
That's right.
And you know, you can't say the name Daisy Bates without mentioning her contribution to that, really.
So today's Pryor Center profile concentrates on the life and legacy of Daisy Bates.
Yes, but also it you have to tell the story, sort of the backstory of Central High. So I guess, you know, we would start with that. You know, it all started with Brown versus Board of Education and the integration of public schools, and Governor Orville Faubus saw that, you know, that wasn't going to happen, at least at first, when he called out the National Guard. He said to keep the peace, but it was actually to prevent the Nine from going to school at Central.
They will not act as segregationists or integrationists, but as soldiers called to active duty to carry out their assigned task.
Orville Faubus, more than 50 years ago in Little Rock, as the crisis was escalating. Well, so Orville Faubus calls out the National Guard. President Eisenhower sees that and raises.
Yes, he raises by the 101st Airborne.
An extreme situation has been created in Little Rock. This challenge must be met, and with such measures as will preserve to the people as a whole their lawfully protected rights. If resistance to the federal court order ceases at once, the further presence of federal troops will be unnecessary and a blot upon the fair name and high honor of our nation in the world will be removed.
Mob rule can not be allowed to override the decisions of our courts.
It's President Eisenhower saying no. Integration is going to happen, and it's going to...
You're not going to do this, Governor.
Right.
And so the governor takes to the airwaves the night that the troops came in, and this was his response.
My fellow citizens, we are now an occupied territory. In the name of God, whom we all revere, in the name of liberty we hold so dear, in the name of decency which we all cherish, what is happening in America?
He made his stand pretty clear.
Oh, he did, and defended it to his dying day. Later on, we're going to hear him on the 25th anniversary and or hear some responses, and he defended it to the end. But, you know, it did happen. The integration happened, and Mel Fatillo, who was one of the students, she was 15 at the time, years later, it's interesting, she describes what it was like just on a daily basis going to school then.
You know, I worried about silly things like keeping my saddle shoes straight. What am I going to wear today? The things that a 15-year-old girl does worry about. You know, but also, which part of the hall to walk in that's the safest? Who's going to hit me with what? Is it going to be hot soup today? Is it going to be so greasy that it ruins the dress my grandmother made for me? I mean, how's this day going to go? And then, you know, you get out and you get to the car and then we joke. We kind of play with each other. And your stomach would go back into its seat. But then again, we'd get to the head of the NAACP, Daisy Bates' house, and we'd have to face press conference.
That's Mel Patello, who is one of the Little Rock Nine, talking about the experience of every day, wondering what would happen. I cannot imagine you know, doing that, let alone doing it at 15, it's just heartbreaking. And the courage that those nine teenagers had to keep going.
Well, and not knowing what
right.
could possibly happen to them that day or any day. And, you know, she talked about getting in the car mm-hmm. and going home and what kind of a relief it was to get in the car. And the Pryor Center, you know, we do current interviews.
Right.
It's called Arkansas Memories. And we interviewed a gentleman several years ago by the name of Christopher, went by C.C. Mercer. And he was the man who drove them to school every day. And this is how he describes taking them to school and what an ordeal it was on a day-to-day basis.
It took some courage because I would drop them off on the 14th side of the school, and they would get out of the car, pull up to the curb and drop them off, and that's where I'd pick them up. And, of course, this was an exit and an entrance, both those, the north end of the building on 14th side and south end of the building on 16th Street side was where most of the school students went in rather than the front facing Park Street or the back facing the athletic field. And it was a stream of kids going in and out, and they would heckle us every day, throw rocks at the car, spit on the car, do that sort of thing. And it was an exercise in patience to control yourself enough to not get out there and do something physical.
The patience, indeed, I can't imagine.
Oh, goodness.
I'm talking with Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. We're talking about the Little Rock Nine and Daisy Bates and other matters on today's Pryor Profiles. Reminder that what you hear during our conversations, you can find by putting Pryor Center into a search engine. And as you mentioned, you can find those interviews, too, that are not archives from KATV, but interviews that the Pryor Center has been doing for several years as well.
Yes, you can find those under Arkansas Memories. So back to the Little Rock Nine. Let's go to Thanksgiving of 57. Uh-huh. By this time, they were kind of veterans of putting up with what they were putting up with and being in front of the cameras. And they would often visit Elsie and Daisy Bates. Elsie was her husband, who was also with the Arkansas Press and an advocate and activist. But the cameras were there for a Thanksgiving dinner at the Bates' house. And they talked about what they were thankful for.
My name is Gloria Ray. I am thankful for having a chance to fulfill my educational desires and for being a citizen in a country where the federal government respects and protects the rights of all its people.
My name is Terrence Roberts, and I'm in Seminyak, Venice. And I would like to say that I know that communists enjoy taking advantage of situations such as these to twist the minds of peoples of the world. But I'm thankful that in America, their actions are being foiled through the efforts of many democratic-minded citizens.
I'm Minnie Jean Brown. I'm thankful for the many people who have stood by us and worked diligently in our struggle for...
It's an amazing clip, Randy, from Thanksgiving 1957. You think about these teenagers, these children, really, what they're going through every day. They're being yelled at.
And they seem so mature.
Right. They're being,
and I guess they did have to become that, you
right.
know?
Now we're going to fast.
All right, so one of the,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the kids that we heard in that last clip was Terrence Roberts. He was one of the students. And the 25th anniversary of Central High, Good Morning America, I don't know if you remember David Hartman.
Sure.
He was the anchor of Good Morning America back then. But at the 25th anniversary, he invited Terrence Roberts, one of the Little Rock Nine, and Orville Faubus on to the show. And they sat face-to-face on the set of Good Morning America. And this is what Dr. Terrence Roberts had to say to Orville Faubus to his face.
His decision at the time to try to block the integration at Central High, Have you ever thought to yourself, gee, if I could talk to Governor Faubus, what I'd like to say to him about that decision was, have you, is there something you would like to have said at the time or since or now?
We, in fact, tried to get the governor to come to court to talk to us about why he made that decision. But I really feel that it was a violation of the public trust to practice your own personal policies of racism in that position. You endangered not only my life, but the lives of hundreds of other people, both black and white, by doing it.
That, too, is an amazing clip. You know, we're getting so used to seeing people talk to each other through Zoom or satellite hookups that aren't in the same room. I've only heard the audio, but I want to stress again with the video, they are on the same soundstage in the same TV studio when this is happening, correct?
Oh, they were feet apart.
Wow.
I mean, knee to knee almost. And I can imagine in the studio, you could have cut the tension with a knife.
Wow. Wow.
And it was strong. You could tell even after all that many years, he still had very strong feelings.
Yeah.
About the former governor.
All right. So we've heard from a couple of the students who were the Little Rock Nine, and you have audio from another?
Yes, and we don't have a whole lot of interviews with Daisy Bates because she had a stroke in 1965 and didn't speak very much. We do have, you know, little bits, but this is something that's not related to Little Rock Nine. This has sort of goes to the character of Daisy Bates, Edith Irby Jones. Was the first African-American admitted to the Arkansas School of Medicine. And she did it actually through the help of Daisy Bates. This is another Pryor Center interview that you can find on our website, the entire interview with her. But this is a clip where she talks about how her tuition was $500 to get into med school. She had that. But then she went to register and she found out she needed another $50 for a registration fee and didn't have it. And a friend of hers had said, if you ever need any help when you're in Little Rock, go by the Arkansas Free Press and ask for the Bates, LC or Daisy Bates, and they will help you do anything you need. And this is her story.
Edith, if you ever need anything, I work for the state press in the summertime, and Daisy and L.C. Bates run the state press, and you go down and tell them that Thad Williams told you that you needed help, you knew me, and to ask them for help. Lo and behold, I had my $500, and I found out I needed $50, for which I didn't have. I didn't have a dollar over that. And I needed to pay it before I could complete my registration. And I took a bus, 10 cents, got on the bus, went down to State Press, walked in and says, is Mr. and Mrs. Bates here? And she says, I'm Daisy Bates. Can I help you? I said, Miss Bates, I need $50. I'm trying to register. And she says, what? You need $50? What you need $50? I said, I'm trying to register in medical school. I'm Edith May Irby, and I need $50 more than the money I have to register. She didn't ask me anything else. She went up and looked behind a shelf, behind some books, took out a jar, took out $50, and gave it to me. It wasn't until later I learned that was her last $50. I went back, put my $50 down, registered, and that was the end of the story. Every Saturday thereafter, Daisy Bates brought me $25 to $30 each Saturday for me to buy stockings and food and transportation and so forth. And so I could always count on Daisy Bates coming.
That is the voice of Edith Irby Jones talking about the help that Daisy and L.C. Bates provided. It's not hard.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's just, yeah, the last $50.
Yeah, it's not hard to be quite proud that a statue of Daisy Bates is going to be at the U.S. Capitol eventually.
Absolutely. No, it's so deserving.
All right, you've got one more cut for us. What is this?
Yes, this is the 20th anniversary of Central High, and she did speak briefly. We heard a little of it at the first of the segment, and this is a little more of her comments about the Little Rock Nine and the difference they made.
History has proven that it did not take 999 persons to change the destiny of this country. It only took nine. Nine children, remember, friends, united. They knew what they were doing, and they knew how important that they walked through that door and they stayed at in this building.
That is Daisy Bates speaking at the 20th anniversary of Central High's integration, one of the archives that's been digitized from KATV that can now be found at the Pryor Center website.
Thanks to Barbara Tyson, the Tyson Foods Foundation.
They got that
we are able to digitize all of these, and we're in the process of doing 26,000 hours more.
We're going to have material for Mondays to come, Randy.
Yes, we are. I hope so.
We also...
Speaking of more material.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, you read my mind.
We get to do a video show, right?
Yeah, it's coming up very soon.
March 3rd.
Right. And we're going to share some of our favorite clips that we've done during the past year, but it will be video, and you can join us through a virtual link.
Yes, just go to the Pryor Center, and you can register. It's the Pryor Center Presents, and we are doing the KATV collection. What do you think about me pulling out that Good Morning America?
Yeah.
And we can run a little more of the exchange between Terrence Roberts and Orville Faubus. It's pretty amazing.
Yes. I mean, the way you described it, just feet apart, I want to see more. I want to see any of it because I've only heard it, but I want to see it and I want to see more of it. So let's include that in the March 3rd edition.
Hey, deal.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Oh, and we should add that at the end of our presentation with some of these clips, we're going to take questions, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
March 3rd.
So next week.
Yes.
You know, going through with Daisy Bates, I found so much more on Central High. Should we do another segment just on Central High?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
All right. That's good.
All right.
Next Monday.
Very good. Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kyle. See you next week.